the podcast. Okay, everybody ready?
Get it.
Yep.
All right. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the BAMF podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. And with me today, I've got Walt Rebilliard. Hey, Walt.
Hola.
John Gibbons.
Hello, hello.
And Adrian Smith.
Hello there.
And first off, we want to thank all our supporters. Fading Goat Games' latest Kickstarter, Extreme Earth, just went over the hump like 10 hours ago. So we're funded. Extreme Earth is funded. Thanks, everybody.
Round of applause.
And to promote this, we are going to be doing a actual demo of Mutants and Masterminds, the a few scenes from the Extreme Earth adventure that comes in the main book. And Mr. Adrian Smith will be jamming us. And I am playing Hammer, who is one of the preview characters, who's kind of a psychopath filled with a sledgehammer. Psychopath of the Heart of Gold with a sledgehammer. And Walt, who are you playing?
I am playing Gunner, a disgruntled military man, hoping to have his one last fling.
It's not fair to really play yourself, is it, Walt?
Yeah. With that, I'm going to keep quiet in the corner.
All right, sorry. John, Mr. John Gibbons, the architect of the ship. Who are you playing?
I'm playing a character called Mojo, who's a convicted cyber terrorist who's on the run from the real bad guys, now working for the other bad guys. Living in a virtual world.
All right, cool, cool. All right, so my guy is the brick, Walt is the blaster, and you're kind of the...
I'm the techie guy, so if we ever to shut anything down, I'm your man.
All right, cool, cool. Sounds good. So that's the introductions and the setup. Hey, do you want to jump us into it?
Okay. General setup is you have been tasked with traveling to an island off of the... Oh, come on, guys. I even wrote this damn thing. I can't remember.
Just one sec.
Yeah, go for it.
I was just thinking that in case anyone's not familiar with Extreme Earth and the Wolfpack, maybe we should give them a quick setup. But, this is Extreme Earth and this is the Wolfpack, so, just to give them some context.
Yeah. John, do you want to fill that in? Because you did the Extreme Earth thing yourself, so if you go from there.
Okay, so I'm sure people know now Extreme Earth is a dystopian superhero setting, dark in style and dark in nature with a mature content. Iron Age of comics sort of suits it quite well. The Wolfpack are the introductory playable characters that you can find within the setting book. The best way to think of these guys is the Dirty Dozen. These are ex-criminals, psychopaths, terrorists, people on the run who've been banded together and forced or cajoled or whatever, blackmailed to serve under Fist in Fist's covert black ops departments.
So it's kind of like if the Suicide Squad existed in the world of 24.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, cool, cool. So there we are. So Adrian, take it away.
Okay, cool. So, so you're playing three members of the Wolfpack, and you have been basically sent to a small island 20 miles off the coast of Chile to try and retrieve the information from an arms dealer called Carlos de Silva, who basically has sold a decommissioned Zaya-class nuclear submarine to Mantis, which is basically the complete opposite of you guys. They are the Cobra to your G.I. Joe, and are basically... planning something bad, and in order to find this sub and stop that actually from happening, you need to interrogate the Silver and possibly, basically the entire thing is a deniable ops because it's so close to the Chilean borders, and the relationship with Chile and the general world at large is kind of shaky at best. You've been sent here on a semi-undercover thing to basically sneak your way in, do what needs to be done, and make your way out with the information.
So if we get caught, we'll be disavowed, that kind of thing.
That's pretty much it, yes. So, anyone that gets there, anyone that gets in your way should pretty much be dealt with in the most severest and, nastiest of terms.
Without prejudice.
Stop any questions. Exactly, that's the word I'm trying to think of, yes. So, that's basically the general layout from the actual briefing itself. Okay, I won't read out the entire briefing because it's massive and because I don't want to spoil it for everyone who actually gets the book, and that would be bad. Because what's the point of rereading it and then you go, I've read this. This is pointless. Anyway, so after your briefing basically told you that the Silver has these plans, you are basically dropped off on several miles off the coast by the USS Brutus under the cover of darkness in a rigid inflatable boat to travel the rest of the way. You cut your motor before you basically make the issue of the island and paddle your way in. The actual weather at the moment is incredibly, incredibly stormy. The seas are choppy, there's rain hammering down, and the occasional bolt of lightning kind of zips through the sky and lights up the entire area, kind of a lovely blue haze sort of thing. As you kind of approach the south end of the island, you can see, judging from the map, by the way, everybody, we are actually using Roll20 at this point in time, so people can actually see the maps and see everything that's going on at the moment, which is, I think, is new to most people here, so bear with us. Okay, so to your left, there is a large guard tower with a searchlight that takes in the entire radius of yellow on the map. And obviously you've got a helipad and another couple of buildings on there as well. Each of those sheds light onto the actual area as well. You, from the information you've gathered beforehand, you know there's at least 20 or 30 soldiers that patrol the island, all man this guard tower. And there is a possibility that the Silver himself may have hired a superhuman bodyguard of some sort. But as of yet, you've yet to encounter. Okay, so everybody who has a character, you should be able to move your token. So basically, along that south beach, you pretty much need to decide where you would like to land your craft. Hopefully in the hopes that you will avoid detection on your way north to where the Silver's Mansion is.
So we know that the Silver's north of the island, but we've obviously...
You know he's north. You've come in from the south. You've kind of beached yourself on the south end of the island. According to that, basically they've said that there are several locations that probably need to be taken out on the south end of the island. One of them would be a radio system that contacts the Venezuelan and Chile governments that could possibly offer some assistance. Apparently, De Silva has either connections or very, very dodgy photographs in his possession that would get him some military response should he require it. So you are kind of you've been tasked to take out several locations along the south end of the island and before you kind of proceed north to take out De Silva himself.
Alright, so we have the tower labeled B, is that a radio tower or is that a guard tower?
Okay. B itself. Right, okay. B is the comm shed, according to your intelligence. So, yeah, there's a radio beacon thing on the back of it. You can definitely tell that's what it should be. Obviously there's a flickering light on the outside of it that lights up the area, and the guard tower is also pointing in the general direction. It's got a massive searchlight on there, basically kind of rotates around on a big rail on the outside of the tower itself, so every so often it kind of passes you like a lighthouse effectively.
Are we protected on the right hand side from the light of the tower, you know, from where we are now on the back of the buildings? Are we protected from the light?
You're currently where you're standing at the moment. As long as you're not in the yellow area, you have no chance of being spotted at this current point in time right now. If a patrol comes anywhere near you, obviously they will need to make a check to see if they can actually spot you, given the actual environment, the amount of weather and the darkness. But right now, as long as you're not in the yellow section, you will not be spotted.
So, right. I'm guessing the smart move is to take out the communications tower first. Mojo, can you make yourself useful?
Yeah, but I don't want to get too close on my own, guys. I think one of you two needs to, you know, you're the bruises in the party. I mean, I'm quite happy to sort of get close to the building, but I don't want to be anywhere near the first guys who come round the corner.
All right, so what we could do is, because you have gear that can get you into this communications thing without tripping alarms and stuff like that, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you get me close to the building and show me a door, I can probably get us inside without tripping any alarms, but, you know, I'm not heading up there on my own without some kind of backup, you know.
Do you have a cable we can run for you? That way you can stay here isolated?
Well, no, I'm not talking about being... No, I don't want to be isolated. I'll go with you. But what I'm saying is you two should maybe go first.
Yeah, if you and I move forward side by side, he can trail behind us in basically a reverse wedge. So right. Like an upside down triangle. That way, if as we're moving forward, if we encounter something, we can block for him. And then if he hears something in the back, we can always just space open. He drops behind us, and then we can deal with it that way.
Right. All right. I shoulder my sledgehammer and start charging off into the bush.
Okay. So as you make your way over towards the west of the area, as you make your way to this shed. You should, unless I'm mistaken, I've actually got on the wrong actual token level, which I don't think I have. No, I haven't. Okay, so that is a four-man patrol to the west. Yeah. That is heading your direction. It is basically, you can make out their torchlights as they're bobbing through the darkness. They don't appear to have any dogs with them. They're just these four guys. Every so often they kind of stop, have a quick swizz around with the light sources, see if they can spot anything, and then they move on again. Correct. That will be where they are. Yeah. So they are moving your direction at a slow pace at the moment. So each square on the map is a 5 foot movement rate. So at the moment they're moving at like 20 feet or so kind of every round. So they are kind of just come around that corner from the guard tower, and they're now making their way towards you.
Does it look like they're going to actually come to us and not go north around the north of the buildings?
It looks like they are heading round the back, like in exactly your area, possibly along the beach line and back up the other side on the eastern coast.
I'm going to make a scarp and try and get towards one of these building edges here. Try and get myself tucked in somewhere.
Well, Mr. White says that the tactically intelligent move is to let these guys creep by us. Mr. Red wants to hit them all in the head with his hammer.
You should listen to Mr. White.
Yeah.
I'm trying, Gunner. I'm trying real hard. I'll move up to where Mojo and Gunner are.
Okay.
Now, we have all that foliage right there. That's concealment.
Around the back of there, there's a lot of various bushes and trees and stuff that have overgrown over the back of the building.
Are we lit at all by the small light outside the shack from where we are?
That light outside the shack does cast kind of a slight glow over your position in those
can
squares.
Can I somehow maybe just to like send a jolt of static, or somehow I can try and get in there and just maybe say turn it off, flicker it off, or dim it slightly, the light? I can try.
Yeah, of course you can. So okay. Your limits, range-wise, on your electric control, range 5, that's plenty, you're well within distance. Okay, that's fine. So if you make a... D20 roll. So if you go on the left-hand side of the screen, there should be a little thing that's got a D20 dice on it.
Yeah.
If you click on that, that gives you all the dice that's available. If you just click on the D20 and roll it.
Reroll.
Okay, that is a... You just rolled it 3 times for some reason.
sorry.
That's okay.
My
D&D group do the exact same thing. They hammer it. They go, okay, which one was it counted? Okay, 17 was first anyway. So that's fine. So yeah, you kind of focus your energy a little bit and you cause the light above the actual... This. It looks like a storage shed to your right and the communication shed to your north. So that kind of flickers and kind of sparks out for a second. And as you are doing so, it kind of cuts that light out completely for a little while, but also reveals that there is another guy who is standing just about 10 feet away from that area. And if I can find him, there we go. He puts a kind of starts noticing the kind of light switch and makes a kind of walk towards it and basically kind of gives it a couple of whacks and starts trying to set it right again. It's like a big one, kind of like a neon strip light. So he's kind of having to take it's not like a screw thing, he's got to take it apart and see if he can do anything with it. But that cuts that light out at the current point in time.
How close are we to this guy?
Sorry?
How close are we to that guy?
That guy there is 15 feet away from you at the moment. You would have to squeeze through the small gap between the two sheds if you were going directly at him. But it depending on your size, you would probably have a bit of a problem. Mojo would probably be okay. But, yeah, you couldn't really kind of get a very good dash attack.
I'm not going to be able to take him down. I'm not sort of kitted out really to take someone down in one go. If someone needs to take him out quietly, I don't know what else anyone else can do.
Okay, so during that round, whilst you're doing your thing, these guys move up another 20 feet and they basically do exactly the same thing. They stand still for a little while. They swing the lights around for a little bit. You can just kind of hear them talking and kind of chatting and basically complaining about how happy the weather is and how they wish they were on some other job but actually sunnier than this. So I swear they promised me desert islands and sun and everything all we need is bloody rain and water and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, they've been undersold their jobs, unfortunately. So what do you wish to do? You can basically kind of make a kind of a stealth check and see if you can basically hold up here and hopefully they will pass you by without spotting you, or you can attempt to take this kind of squeeze through that gap, take the guy down on the northern end.
Or you can
attempt to dash round to the right hand side around the bottom of that building and hopefully they don't spot you, bearing in mind that you will obviously you'll make noises as you crush through the undergrowth, but the thunder, the lightning and the rain's hammering down so much that the commotion.
I'll just look towards the soldier boy and just see what he's planning.
All right, so you're talking about making a dash right here.
Yeah, that
would be that would immediately get you out of line of sight at this. Yeah, but
what happens if these people, you know, around the other side we can't see? We've just seen that one guy. You know, we could run around that corner. There could be two or three people on guard.
Yeah, right there on that building, are those windows, or is that just like flat, like stone face or without any type of vision?
Yeah, at the moment there's no windows on that area. It looks like most of it's kind of created out of kind of that corrugated iron. Basically, so it's almost like it should have been temporary, but it's been overused and been there for quite some time. So it's kind of, there's sign of wear and tear on it. But generally speaking, yeah, no windows on that area, you can see.
I think probably the best bet is going to be to wait them out, because if we start moving, they're going to, you know, plus you got the guy fiddling with the light on the other side. So, we don't want to announce our presence this early. Let's see if we can stealth roll this thing.
Sounds good to me.
I want to hit someone on the head so bad.
Wait.
Okay, so if you wish to do that, if you all make a D20 roll, check on your character sheet, see what your stealth is, and let me know what your result is. I will make a spot check for these guys.
Okay, how do we roll D20 on here?
So on the left-hand side, there should be a dice that says it's got the dice.
Yeah.
Pick
one
and actually give you a D20.
All right, so I got a natural 14. If I look at the character sheet.
I believe his is 3.
Agility is 3. Let's see.
Where does it show the result, Aid?
In the chat box.
Stealth is plus 3. So.
Yep, yours was 14, John's was a 14, so that's 17 for each of those. Gunnar?
I don't think I have stealth, so.
Gunner's stealth is.
Do I have it?
No. So you just need to roll a natural 20. And,
that's easy. Does my agility play into that too?
Nope. Just.
Oh, yeah.
Aha!
Apparently, okay. I'm going to light a cigar exactly as they're passing by.
The greatest of rolls, a 6. Okay. So,
I spent a point, and you can spend a hero point and reroll, right?
You can make a reroll on it with a hero point check.
And how many hero points do I have?
You have 1 at this current point in time. Basically, the more difficult you make yourself, the more you make stuff yourself, the more you kind of awarded. So, basically, you give yourself a setback earlier on, such as, gun jams or something like that, and then later on you can be rewarded the hero point. So when you need to take the gun to the guy at the end of the adventure, you've got to spare a hero point to get the extra crack in.
So I'm going to spend 1 now to reroll.
Okay, so 1 hero point allows you to reroll any dice you make and take the better of the 2 results. On the result of 1 through 10 on the second roll, you add 10 to the results, you always get 11 or higher.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go for a reroll.
Okay.
Oh, good.
2.
Okay, so that would be 12. Okay, so they need to beat a 12 on their spot check to see if they detect anybody. Okay,
their
current spot check, he says. He's looking. Okay. Perception is plus 2, so it's 1d20 plus 2. Okay, so 1d20 plus 2 is a 2 for the first guy, a 12 for the second guy, equals yours, a 4, and a 2. You are the luckiest guy alive. Okay, so, yep, so you are literally just basically pull yourself down behind a bush as the kind of torchlight brushes across where your head previously was. These four guys, kind of completely oblivious, more intent of complaining and kind of, oh, now the sea's washing up on us, oh, we're getting spray on us, all this kind of stuff. And a few seconds later, they basically pass you by, level with you in one round, so you can stay concealed, or you can attempt to take them out, or you can just let them carry on.
And be, let them carry on.
Yep, okay, so about 5 or 6 seconds later, they pass on another 20 feet or so, and then again. And after about 30 seconds, they kind of disappear around the corner and continue up the shore of the island. Okay, so that's where they currently are at the moment.
All right, so speaking to Mojo, do you have to get in this building to deal with these guys? Or can you work your magic from the outside?
I need to get in the building. I need to get in there and see what we need to get rid of first. If we need to shut this comm shack down, I need to really be in the building. We need to take the guy out of the front and like get me in.
All right.
Okay. So during those 2 minutes, that basically you're sitting there waiting for these four guys to pass you by, he kind of has given up on the line. He's kind of decided to drop the pieces on the ground, kind of swore under his breath, and then basically he's trotted off somewhere off to the right hand side. Kind of heading out of your view at the moment. You're not too sure where he's gone, but that is where he's kind of immediately out of your view at the moment.
I've gone to get a spare bulb.
He may well have done. Okay.
All right. So trotting through there is going to be a problem for Hammer.
He can't get through, but it's kind of the sides of him and. Kind of, there may be scraping noises. When you used to run a stick down your picket fences, whereas as his sledgehammer bounces off the side of the corrugated iron. But again, there's storm and there's the weather is kind of giving everybody a bit of trouble here. Anyway, so it's entirely possible that as long as there's no one in the immediate vicinity, you may get away with it.
All right, now can we see these guards from where we are?
Which guards?
The one I'm pinging right now on A.
Oh, the ones there on the far west.
That's on top of the watchtower, yes.
All right, are they facing in or are they facing out toward the ocean?
At this current point in time, there is one guy in the center of the watchtower. Basically, he's got his gun ready to aim and fire anything should they appear. And the second guy is on the actual light, and he is running around on the outside of the actual, on the rail itself. So that was... Now let's have a look. So, let's, just for the sake of rolling D12. Okay, at this current point in time, he is facing 11 o'clock. So he is facing northwest on the actual light. So completely opposite direction from where you are at the moment.
All right, so if we go around to that side of the building, to the south side of the building, and just creep around, just all around the sides of the wall... We as long as we don't have anybody in our field of view. Now, do we see these guys coming from the north near the helipad yet?
The guys coming from the north, you've not seen on the map. You've not seen that at this current point in time. They are there, and according to your patrol routes, they're probably going to be there somewhere, but you don't know exactly how far down that trail they are at the moment.
And this building right here that we're saddled against, how big is that? Is it bigger than the tower that's right next to it?
No, it's only a. It looks, but according to your information, it's an equipment source. So there is a. It's kind of a roof on it that's basically 10 feet tall above it. The guard tower itself is about 15-20 feet tall. not including, so that gives you an overview of the entire thing. So, yeah.
If we wanted to get athletic about it, we could, Hammer and I could climb up to the top and just skirt the corner of the building and then just drop back down. That might be quiet. Before Hammer jumps up there, he could always throw Mojo up there.
Whoa.
Yeah, fastball special style.
Hammer does whatever he wants to do. I will crawl on my hands and knees between the thin gaps. You know, if the big guy can't make his way through, then he needs to go round himself. I'm not going with him.
But the average time of the sweep of the actual searchlight is about a minute. It takes him to rotate around the entire area. So if you were to go out, you've got like 10 rounds or whatever it is before you get. So you'd easily make it around the outside of that bit, outer edge of the building, and around to the other side, should you need to. As long as you obviously don't encounter the guards that are on the patrol coming down towards the west hand side.
All right. So what do you boys want to do? Do you want to take the high road or run around and go for the door on the north hand side?
Why don't I sneak through the gap and you two go around the outside? Because by me sneaking through, I might be able to see a little bit more at the front of the building.
All right. Let's make that happen.
Okay, well, I will stealthily then try to make my way to there. Just creep through the gap, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so you push your way through the small gap. Yeah, you basically kind of presses on your side and your ribs ache a few, you know, as you emerge to the other side, you manage to just squeeze through these dodgy fence. The guard that was previously there has definitely gone off to the, looks like he's gone off to the building to the east of where you are. The patrol, you can just make out they are definitely heading your direction and they are making your way down to your view. They'll probably hit the yacht jetty in about a round or two from where they are at the moment. And standing outside of the second building on the helipad, which has got a helicopter parked on it, is another guy that appears to be chatting to the bloke who was trying to repair the light. They're probably discussing.
So this is a pretty damn busy area.
So probably discussing the fact that, oh, the light's gone. I can't believe it. He's basically having a moan at this guy who looks like he's possibly the pilot. He's not wearing the standard uniform of the these kind of militia that have been engaged. He's wearing a flight suit with, you know, like a blue flight suit with some, you know, harness and stuff on it.
Okay. You know, our reconnaissance information that we got briefed about at the start of the mission, we were told about search patterns. These four guards who are coming down the road towards the helipad and the yacht,
yep.
Do we expect them to walk down the jetty to the end? Where does our intelligence tell us they usually go?
As far as you are aware, they will take a sweep straight past the jetty, past where you currently are, up to the watchtower and then back around to where the original guys were in the first place, and then kind of continue on that route around the southern edge of the island.
Okay.
And it looks like, from what you've been told, that those eight, the two teams of eight, are making their way just around this kind of southern part.
Okay.
So there'll probably be like every 15, 20 minutes maybe, will be like a rotation around the island. So if anyone was to disappear, or bodies left on the thing, within 20 minutes they would be discovered.
Right, okay. Well, I'm just gonna knuckle down here and wait for Gunner and Hammer to make their way around the building and get to me.
All right, let's move swift and quiet.
Okay. So the light kind of sweeps slowly in your general direction, and you make your way around the north end of the building. You can see from the where you're standing at this current point in time that to the north view is the yacht and the east is the helipad. Now, each one of those was supposed to be your escape route, possibly from this island, should you need to use them. The helipad looks like the helicopter's been fueled up, and it looks like it's in pretty good condition. The yacht itself, there appears to be a light in the yacht, so it looks like someone is possibly sitting in there sheltering away from the rain at the moment. Okay? And yeah, again, from as you circle around the eastern side, you can see the searchlights of the four guards making their way in your direction. So
Okay, I think we need to get into this small building quick, guys. I think we need to get into the comm shack. Too much activity out here in the open.
Is it locked?
I'm not tried yet.
I'll try the handle quietly.
Okay, you try the handle, and it's not locked. It's easily openable.
All right, so I'll stand. Which way does it open? Does it open on that side or the other side?
It opens to your right-hand side, so it opens against that that northern wall.
All right, so I'll stand over here. When I open the door, you two go in, and then I'll follow in right behind you.
Okay. Right,
I'll go in first.
Absolutely. Right. I'll just... I'm
all right, we do it.
Let's go. Quiet, okay. Quiet. Keep it quiet, yeah?
Right, so you swing the door open, and there is, surprisingly enough, a guard sitting there. He's basically... Looks like he's monitoring the communications from the island, which at the moment seem to be having trouble actually getting through the storm. You can see there's lots of, you can hear the static kind of buzzing over the radio. He also appears to be getting a feed from a CCTV, which seems to be focused above the door, pointing towards a helipad. One on the jetty against the yacht. And a third one appears to be monitoring the CCTV system that flicks onto several cameras focusing around the mansion to the north, where you assume the silver should be situated at the moment. Okay, so at the moment he's just basically, he's kind of oblivious to you being there. He's basically just kind of fiddling with the radio, trying to get the thing to actually do what it wants to be doing.
Does he have headphones on?
He has headphones on, yes.
Hammer should go up right behind him and hit him with a rear naked choke.
I was going to hit him in the head with a hammer.
That works too.
That's what Hammer wants me to do.
Don't wreck the headphones.
I'll do what I can. So yeah, I'm going to hit him in the back of the head with the head with the sledgehammer.
Okay, that's fine. So if you check your microbar, and there should be a hammer attack.
Sledgehammer attack.
If you click that, you get a hammer attack. Okay, so you get a 22 to hit, and you get for 10 damage, and if you rolled a 19 to 20, you would have got critical. You rolled a 16. If you flick your cursor over to the 22, it actually tells you what you rolled and what your pluses as well. Okay, so... unfortunately, he's not very happy about that. So he needs to make a toughness saving throw, and the DC is 25. That's 10 plus 15 for the base save. So he rolls a 25.
Oh
my God, the luckiest guy alive. Okay, so your sledgehammer kind of arcs into him. At the split second, he basically sees it coming down towards his head. He turns slightly. It catches him kind of... almost grazes the side of his forehead rather than actually catching him with any force at all. The shaft of the actual hammer itself whacks him on the shoulder, knocks him to the ground at this current point in time, but he takes roughly no damage at this moment. Oh. Okay? So, for next round, we need to roll initiative. So, if you click on your token and press your initiative macro, you should automatically add yourself to the initiative table on the side.
Alright, so I would just... I've got 18 for initiative. Do I just drag that? Oh, how do I get that over there?
I can do that. It's not a problem. I can add a turn to that character, and he says if I add a turn, and I can just type in 18. Okay, and this guy is going to initiative, and he is initiative of 7. Okay, so descend in order. We go from 21 to 18 to 16 to 7. Okay, so Gunner, you are first on 21. What do you wish to do?
All right, so he's down on the ground.
Yep, he's down on the ground. He's basically, he's planted kind of his chair around as he done, as he was kind of struck, and he's basically sitting out on the ground beside the chair.
Facing drop out. On top of him, one arm across his jaw, and put my combat knife right into the side of his neck in between his carotid artery and his trachea, and dig it out like a weed.
Okay, yeah. So they just get that.
Well, it okay. Scares me a little bit sometimes.
Okay, so you have a combat knife attack by rolling a 10 to hit for 8 damage. Okay, so just check.
And hopefully Hammer's aim on his next attack is good enough so that he doesn't hit me now that I'm sitting on top of the guy.
I'll do my best, Gunner.
You've said that a lot today so far.
But just in case something goes wrong, where do you keep the remote control?
Talk about that when I survive.
Okay, so you manage to catch him with it. He takes 8 damage. So that would be 23, and he's making another saving throw. He's buzzed by 5, so he is now wounded. So he is -2 to his rolls from now on. And so, yeah, you basically, yeah, again, you kind of, wriggle slightly out of the way. Your knife basically catches him across the bottom of his neck, just above his shoulder. And he kind of just manages to hold you there for the moment. But you're kind of still spooled on top of him, kind of holding him down at the moment. Okay, jeez. So the hammer, it's your go.
All right, so Mojo, it's you.
No, it's you, mate.
Oh, it's me. All right. So if I understand the scene correctly, Gunner is on top of the guy with the knife in his neck?
Yeah, he's basically just, he's not managed to sink it in as deep as needed be. He's basically just kind of nicked him on the side of the, just above the shoulder. But he has managed to wrestle him down and stop him from shouting out at this current point in time.
All right, well, that's something. Gunner, I'm guessing you'd probably prefer I didn't use a sledgehammer attack right now.
Oh, hell no. Hit that dude like you're trying to knock it out the park.
All right. Oh.
Okay, so that is a 9. Yeah. Okay. Is probably going to be a miss, unless he's stuck. Actually, he'll probably be okay, because he's actually held. Okay, that's fine. So that's a hit again for another 10 damage. So this time he has a saving throw again of... He's get 25 on his toughest saving throw. He's -2 to his roll. He rolls an 11, which means a 9, which means a failure of 5, 15. That's 2 more damage off of him. So now he is severely injured. Okay, so yeah, he struggles a bit more. He's now staggered and has -1 penalty, so he can't act this round again. You kind of swing your hammer, you kind of move slightly, and you basically catch it in the back rather than on the side of the head. So he just kind of takes all the wind out of him, and that's what happens to him at the moment. Okay, so, Mojo, you're next on 16.
Okay, do I think that this guy, seeing though he's got Gunner on top of him and hammer stood over him swinging his... Do I think he's, even though he might not be unconscious, do we get the impression that he's not going to be screaming for help or trying to fight anymore?
You would assume so, yes. At the moment, he basically, he kind of, as the hammer kind of whacks into him, he basically loses all kind of breath out of his body and kind of goes,
I'm concerned about the 4 guys on patrol, you see. With my range of my sort of compute and electronic control, looking at it, I would say both the yacht and the helicopter are probably in my range. Is there some way, remotely at range, that I can say activate either the helicopter's siren or the yacht's horn, just to blare it off and, you know, to attract the attention elsewhere?
You can use your electronic control generally to overflood the kind of electronic systems of either of them. They are within range. If you wanted to try something particular, you'd probably have to make a kind of a power stunt out of it, so that effectively you'd be, you'd manipulate a particular part of the actual craft. If you just basically wanted to kind of almost like spark the engine up so that all the lights came on and whatever was tied to it would kind of fire off all at the same time, you could do that.
What do you think, guys?
Do it up.
Obviously, the problem with that obviously is as well, is that you will be drawing attention, whether or not they would be all gathered outside past the helicopter, which obviously now you've got to go past to get out.
I'm thinking about the yachts. I'm thinking about getting the lights in the yacht going, so those 4 guys will head down the jetty. Maybe the 2 guys near the helicopter will sort of go over the nosy, and then we can go round the back once we've dealt with the comm shack.
You could do the yacht from where you are. So basically, yeah. So it'd like a foghorn and the kind of stuff.
Yeah,
basically,
just
if you overload the system, pretty much all the lights would fly on. And the foghorn would kind of fire up and everything else would go like that, yeah.
Yeah, it could just be electrical error, but enough just to make it to go over and have a look and then realise there's no one on board and it was just, just an error.
Yep.
How do I do that then? How do I do that?
Okay, so if you make a check, so if you roll 1d20 plus the rating on your power, and we'll say something like that is going to be a difficulty 15, so you need to get above 15 in total.
Okay.
I believe your power rating is 5, unless I'm mistaken.
It is.
So you need a 10 or more on D20.
Okay, here we go. I've got any pluses to it?
No minuses either. So just a flat,
flat roll.
Hey, it's 11, so you do it by 1. Okay. So, yeah, you kind of standing where you are, you basically kind of focus on the actual yacht itself, kind of reach out using your see if you can feel the electronic energy of the actual yacht itself, and you kind of latch onto it, spark the entire thing up, all the lights inside the yacht all light up. The exterior search lights and the emergency lights kind of fire up as well, and the foghorn basically just starts blaring out over the kind of the entire area. So this should
give us a few minutes, guys, to do what we need to do here and move on.
Yep. So the desired effect is exactly as you anticipated. The four guys from the guard station basically pick up pace and start making their way up the jetty towards the yacht. The two guys that were outside the helicopter chatting away basically make their way to the north of the island on that bay, and basically stand there, kind of observing, make sure that they don't need any backup. There was a guy inside the face of the yacht. As you see, you kind of see him jump up from the inside the window, and he basically kind of starts hammering on all the buttons to see if he can get anything to do. But at this current point in time, nothing seems to actually function.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so that gives you.
Can I still do?
You can still have a slight move if you so wish to. You can kind of.
Can I get into the shack?
Yeah, I can let you scrabble into the shack and do so. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So now is that guard conscious at all?
The guard on the floor is still conscious at this current point in time. He's still kind of half struggling, but he loses his attack for that round. So he would have gone now. So you're back on 21. You get another strike against me if you do wish so.
Let's.
And anything he's at is at minus 3 as well. 20's toughest save or difficulty to dodge as well, not including the thing for being grappled.
All right, there it is.
Okay, so 14 is enough to whack him again. 8 damage gives you a difficulty of 23 again on the toughness save. Okay, makes a toughness save of 16, which is a fail again. With 3 off of that, gives 13, so that's another 10. So basically, he is incapacitated. So you sink your blade into him. He kind of lets out a last gasp and just slumps to the ground. Kaput.
All right, now that we can work in peace.
Mojo, I think it's your turn.
Sorry, guys. Okay, is the guy out for the count?
Yeah.
Okay, then that. Well, as quick as a flash, then I will do what we're here to do. So I will overload or whatever. I will turn off all communications on the island.
Okay, so you have a kind of a choice here. You can either do it strategically and kind of by actually activating or deactivating systems and actually kind of going in there and using like a technical skill and basically kind of deactivating anything, or you can use your electronic skill and just basically blast the entire thing. Frazzle everything and kind of do it that way, bearing in mind that any adjoining systems may suffer a kind of a residual kind of effect from that attack.
We don't want to do this early on. So I will sit down at this technician's chair, have a look at this sort of dated kit in front of me, and I'll go all analog on it, and I'll turn a few dials and press a few buttons and just basically just try and turn off island communications, but want to do it in a way so no one could come back in here and get them going again.
Okay, so that would be a technology roll. So you have a technology roll of +8. So if you make a D20 roll +8 to it. Now, if you want to, you can either roll the D20 or you can actually, on that advanced roll bit, there's actually a thing that allows you to add +8 to the roll at the bottom. Obviously, you need to change every time.
I'll put the +8 on the roll. Okay, so that's rolled with the 8 added on.
Okay, 18. Okay. So that's fine. So we'll say difficulty 15 to do that. So, yeah, it takes a few minutes or so. But you basically shut down each system individually so as not to allow anything else. And once you're done, you basically kind of just kind of pull the plug, deactivate them, and kind of wreck the actual function of them.
I want to try and do Aid.
Yep.
You say there's a CCTV system here that looks like it's looking at the mansion house and the island, etc.
Yes.
Now, I've got, obviously, my cybernetic goggles. You know, I see the virtual world. Is there any way that I can somehow jury-rig the feed so I can actually pick up the CCTV feed for the future on the island through my goggles?
Okay. You can attempt to that. If you make another technology check and basically use... Yeah, so you basically kind of find the frequency that the CCTVs are using and using your super science-y goggles, you can basically try and attempt to jack into that, so you'd get like a picture-in-picture view of anything from that CCTV should you need it.
Okay, and that's another D20 plus 8 roll?
That would be correct.
Okay, here we go.
27, fantastic. 27. Okay, so this time it's almost like a technological ballet, as you're kind of just basically just flicking around, just the odd flourish here and there, and kind of everyone's looking at you, what the hell are you doing? So, yeah, there's something to do. And after a couple of moments or so, you basically, you've done it. You've managed to get a feed down there. So you've got your little your Google Glass or Oculus or whatever it's called inside your goggles now, and you can see anything the CCTV picks up on the mountain feed.
I'll just give the thumbs up to Gunnar and say, right, good to go.
All right, can you do you have eyes on our prize?
Okay, can I see, flicking through the various channels towards the mansion house and CCTV, can I see anyone who looks like De Silva?
Okay, so flicking through the actual the things itself, there's 7 or 8 cameras. As you flick through, you can see that there is signs of a patrol of guards armed with some rather large, nasty-looking dogs that seem to be going up and around the mansion, and every so often they're kind of caught on camera, either going off or kind of off and on site as they make their way around. There's a guard outside the mansion itself, and there is a large Humvee, which is kind of manned by a driver and a guy that's sitting basically on the gun emplacement that appears to be idling at the moment just outside the mansion itself. The engine doesn't appear to be started. It's basically just sitting there. The guy looks completely bored and getting incredibly annoyed about being rained on. As for De Silva himself, he appears to be in a room downstairs watching a rather large television, which has got a straight kind of against the wall. But that's all you can see at the moment.
Oh, he's definitely in the mansion house, guys.
Definitely in the mansion.
Can you see what he's watching on that TV? Because, you know, I missed my soaps for this.
Okay. Funnily enough, unless I'm very much mistaken, I can tell you what he's watching on TV.
Oh, God.
Yes, he's watching Godfather 3 on a 72-inch TV. I
would have figured him for a Scarface guy.
Yeah. All right. Okay. How do we want to approach the mansion? Do we want to go by land or do we want to swim it?
Well, judging by that Humvee, I don't really want to go anywhere near it. Well, I don't know. Let's just get the quickest way. I want to get off this island. This is not good. I'll follow you, Gunnar. Whichever way you think's the best.
Okay, so if you attempt to swim it, the current on the island basically is brushing up against, obviously, the beaches, and the storm and stuff is making it slightly more violent than it would be normally, so you're going to suffer a penalty from actually trying to swim through. There are two little skidoo doodah thingies on the jetty side that you could kind of acquire. They would give you, obviously, some more power to actually make your way up there. The noise of them will probably be obscured by the actual sounds of the storm, and if you run them without lights, then you could probably get through no problem at all. But obviously, that would obviously mean making way past the 8 or the 6 guards and the yacht guy to get to them.
We've just said
where you're standing at the moment, you've been told there is a possible patrol that goes up from the northern end of the island down the kind of the centre spine to the southern end and then back again. And they make that kind of short journey every couple of minutes or so. But that's pretty much all you've determined at the moment. Okay, but also bearing in mind that the guys that you saw off the first on the 4 guys are also now obviously making their rotation around the outside eastern edge, and they will obviously probably be either stopping next to the 6 guys to find out what's going on, or depending if they're and could basically just have a gorp, or basically, if they've been told nicely to carry on with their work, they'll carry on up towards
why the... Why don't we just bug out the shack and just follow the route of the patrol? Because it looks like it's a one-way route around the island. We know they're about 5 minutes in front of us, and just follow their route. The guys who are going to be behind us are on the jetty at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Let's do that. And then if we need to, how high are the beaches, or rather the surrounding areas from the beaches? Like, how is that a cliff? Is that just descend from brush into beach? How does that look?
Yeah, pretty much brush into beach is kind of what it does. Yeah, you're probably like a 5 foot drop is like the highest drop to the actual seafront itself.
All right. Well, if we need to, we can drop behind a berm or something like that if we need to hide. All right, let's go trucking.
Let's go. Let's get out. Is there any way that once we close this door, is there any way that we can maybe lock the door? Because I'm conscious of the fact we've got this dead body now draped in the room. And
I was thinking about putting him in a closet.
Well, yeah. Is he one around? Is there something like, is he a locker or anything we can put him in?
There is a kind of, there's a set of three lockers just inside the door on the left-hand side that would basically allow you could kind of stuff him in the locker.
Well, let Hammer do it. Hammer gets stuffed in either way, won't you, Hammer? I mean, if he doesn't fit, Hammer will make him fit.
Just fold him up like an old suitcase. Yeah.
There are always ways.
Okay, so you pick up his body, you basically squeeze him in, his shoulders kind of jam to the width of the actual locker itself, so it kind of holds in there, and you kind of just slam it shut over the top. So you swing the door open, just to kind of a quick peek. The six guys are still standing there, the siren from the yacht is still blazing away, and the light from the lighthouse is now currently at 9 o'clock, so it is pointing directly west from where your current position, so you can easily make it round the north towards the west and then to the south without being seen by the actual sweep of the light at the moment.
Yep, let's get trucking.
I want to go all the way around.
Okay.
And then I think the plan aid is just literally just to walk along the beach right round the back of the buildings following the first patrol.
No problem. Right, so as you are doing that, it takes you obviously a few minutes to do so. By the time you reach the northern... Let me just move everybody. Grab everybody. Here you are. So by the time you reach this area here, the patrol has gone up north to where the actual island kind of slims down slightly, made its way back round, and are now standing kind of completely on the edge of the helipad, still kind of bewildered by what's going on by the yacht. One of the guys there basically kind of shifts them on and says, "Oh, just stand there, go on, keep going, and they kind of begrudgingly. Kind of the one bit of interesting things happened today. They kind of just basically keep moving down. So they pass the head towards the comm shed where you previously were.
Let's move.
Yep. Let's do it.
Okay. So you make your way towards that section of shrubbery, and as you do so,
shrubbery.
Right. As you do so, third patrol making their way south. Making their way south from where you're currently standing towards you, where you are, basically making their way along that kind of thin 20-foot area of island.
Who said land on the south part of this island?
Hey, man, I just get paid to move the board and cash the checks. Nobody tells me. Nobody gives me that kind of authority. All right, so do we wait for these mooks to pass, or do you want
Let's just try and hide in this shrubbery and see if they come back. If they spot us, then we need to deal with them quick, don't we?
Okay, so if you want to make a stealth roll again, +3 for the two guys that got it, plus nothing for the one that hasn't, and we'll go from there.
Do we have a macro for stealth?
I have no macro for stealth, unfortunately.
Okay.
Sorry.
There is numbers. All right, so I rolled 1d20, got an 8, so I'm probably in trouble.
Okay, you are actually the best I got is 7. So, yet again, you kind of, two guys drop their way down behind,
here comes the Humvee.
Yeah, two guys drop their way down behind the bush, kind of hammer stands there looking around going, what are we hiding? And they kind of grab him by the scruff of the neck and pull him down just as the guys made their way down. They flash lights around kind of just about 20 feet away from your current position before making their way back up towards the north of the island. So they basically seem to be just going up and down this short pass. So if you continue on your route at the moment, you will probably encounter them again coming back down.
I didn't think they were moving away.
They basically come away down and then make your way back. So you can make a quick dash across to that second section of shrubbery on the to the north, which is about 30 feet or so you're well within distance. And then
I think you guys just like saying shrubbery.
Shrubbery.
Yes. Shrubbery. Okay, so we will make a remaining stealth check for the
second. Where's Hammer?
I was wondering the same thing. Oh, wait, I'm way back there.
Ham's here.
Sorry.
Come on, Hammer.
Yeah, hang on one sec. Let me get back into select mode. I was in pan mode. Sorry, guys, there was there was a shrubbery down here I found very attractive. I was just taking a moment to look at it and just appreciate nature. You know, we're on this planet for such a short period of time. And all right, now I'm up there.
Okay, so, well, you got a 6 on your roll, so that gives you a 9. No, it gives you a 6, doesn't it?
It gives me a 6, yeah, I don't have a bonus.
Right, so Hammer and Mojo.
This is more stealth, is it, again?
Another stealth again, yep.
Okay. 13.
Okay, give you a full 13. And Mike?
Amy, I rolled an 8 for stealth. I think I have a plus 2, so probably a total of 10.
Okay, we have a 14, we have a 10, we have a 4, and we have a 9. So one of them definitely sees one of you. Okay, yeah. On a 14. Okay, so you scuff along that kind of the kind of slightly submerged area on the outside, kind of splashing as you go. Just as you do so, the guy on the nearest to you on the bottom kind of the patrol swings his torch around because he hears this noise, just sees something out the corner of his eye and basically catches a glimpse of you. So you will need to make a initiative check again to see what you can do about it. Okay, so if you select your token and press the initiative, Macro, it should automatically add it to the turn tracker.
So you click your token, then click the
initiative macro, and it should automatically feed into the token tracker. And it didn't. I must have forgot to do yours. I'm useless.
hang on a second. Let me try it again.
Okay, go. Hey! Okay, but we'll give you 18.
It was Mike's fault.
Yeah, user.
It's always Mike's fault.
It is.
Okay, so we have a 3. We have a 14. We have a 20.
Oh,
and we have a 14. So in descending order, we have 23, 20, 18, 15, 14, 14, 3. So Gunner, you are first on 23. The guy who seems to be the most active is actually the guy next to the one with the flashlight, who seems to basically raise his rifle up in kind of and slightly swings it towards your general direction, kind of as if to shoot anything that kind of lurches out of the darkness towards him. But he will be the first one to act after you.
Well, I'm not much of lurching. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to level my gun at him, my gun arm, so configure the arm to, do what it does best, which is not serving ice cream, but we're going to serve some damage. And my roll is a 26 to hit with 5 damage.
Okay, so 26 to hit. He has a dodge roll of 5, so that would be 15, so that is a hit. And you do 5 damage. He has a toughness saving throw. So that will be a 20 toughness saving throw. He has a 12, which is not good. Okay, so he takes two lots of damage straight away. Okay, so he's on Goo. Okay, so he is stunned, unless I'm very much mistaken, according to my little book of goodness.
I want a book of goodness.
He's dazed and minus one penalty, so yeah. So he can act, but he can only do certain things. Okay, so he would be next to act. So his act for this round is basically he gets one action. He will shout out to his, or not exactly shout out, but kind of point and to his compatriots, so they're now aware that somebody's kind of blasted and caught him on the shoulder, and now you kind of all raise their rifles and swing in your direction. Okay, so Hammer, you are next on 18.
Okay, how can I close to melee, or do I need to? Are we more ranged attacks at this point?
Yeah, you can do a charging swipe attack and basically take him down as a one round action.
$20 says you can't get him into the water from here.
All right, then I'm charging the guy who Walt shot. Sorry, who Gunner okay. shot, and I'll hit him with sledgehammer.
Okay.
And so, sledgehammer attack. Rolling a 14 to hit for 10 damage.
14 to hit, he has a parry of, I believe it's 3. No, he's a parry of 7. So you would need above a 17 to hit. So you are missed.
Dear me.
Can I spend a hero point and do it again?
You can spend your hero point and make a second roll. Yes, take the better of the two.
Alright, let's do it. Boy,
15. So you improve your roll by one step.
Nah.
So you just take a kind of quick jog, pull your hammer back, take a swing at it. You lose your footing slightly, and it just basically whistles past the front of his face enough to kind of make his mustache bristle slightly as it does so, but doesn't actually hit him. Okay, so Mojo, 15, you're next.
I'm in a bit of trouble here because I am not a combatant by a long stretch of the imagination. Obviously I'm going to draw my light pistol. There's no electrical devices around that I can draw power off to maybe try and shock these guys. I'm out of range. You know, we are in the middle.
The only electric things they've got would be the flashlights they've got, right. Possibly some radios, but that'd be kind of very, very low.
I'm gonna have to try and move. I'm not happy about being in front of Gunner for a start, so I will I'll sort of back off slightly and just open up at the nearest guy to me with my light pistol.
Okay. So make a light pistol attack.
What have I got in that? So I've got light pistol.
Is it on the macro bar?
Oh, it is, yes, so it is.
What it was, yes. There so, you make a 5, yeah. Which, unless I'm very mistaken, is a 1 on the roll.
Oh, nice.
He has a dodge of 5, so you would need a 15 or better. You roll a 5, so you roll the worst possible roll you could do. So, your light pistol kind of surprises you slightly as you pull the trigger, and it kind of jolts and whistles past his shoulders and disappears off into the dark.
Oops.
Okay. So 15 is the guy next to Hammer at this current point in time. So he is going to let rip with his assault rifle. Now, obviously, this is going to make some noise. Okay, so Hammer, your dodge.
Okay, so I'm rolling dodge save.
No, just need to let know your dodge is. Your dodge is 8, so he needs 18 or above. So he rolled an 8, including his plus to hit, so he completely misses you. So he is surprised. You think he's probably a bit too near with you. He's kind of the barrel of his gun is kind of almost pressed against your side rather than actually anywhere in front of you, and just kind of the bullets whistle off into the mouth. Okay, the other guy who just got shot at by Mojo will take a shot at Mojo. This time he hits a 21, so you'll dodge Mojo.
Oh dear, it's gonna hurt.
Is there any way I can sacrifice my my next action
my
to get
feet.
In front of him?
If you have,
do you have the intercept feet?
Yeah, that's what I'm just thinking. Yeah, if you have a certain feat, you can definitely do so. If not, you can kind of make a move next round and do it manually. If you see what I mean, rather than jumping in front heroically.
No, I don't see it.
Oh, it's okay. I can take a bullet. He was brought up in South Los Angeles, so.
Okay, so you would take you take 5 damage. So you need to make a toughness saving throw, and the difficulty is 20.
Okay.
So I would suggest you want to use your hero point if you don't get a good roll on this one.
So, on the current roll of 9, you have a save of 15, which means you would take 1 wound, which means you would be at -1 to your rolls, but you don't take any dazed, you're just kind of a slight grazing.
I'll take that.
Okay. So, in the blue marker, I will put a 1, which lets me know how many penalties you've got. Okay, and the guard on number 3, he does a 5-step over, and he will take a shot at Gunner, as he's the only one that's not been shot at. And 21, God, Gunner's dodge.
Got it.
Sorry, you don't have to roll, just need the thingy, so that's fine. 17, he hits you. So you need to make a toughness saving throw.
There it is. 11.
11, so he succeeds by 4, so that's 1 fraction again. You will take 1 minor wound, and you're -1 to any roll from now.
Got it.
Okay, so back around 23, it's your go again, Gunner.
Alright, I'm going to continue helping.
We got a grenade or anything?
Oh yeah, that's coming next. So, alright, I'm going to take a step, just so I can get in front of Mojo.
Okay.
And then, let's see, where is it? Attacks. I'm almost positive he has a grenade thing on here.
Yeah, he does. He's good. He can instantaneously convert with the nanites to a
offense,
grenade.
There we go. Machine gun. Blast. There we go. Grenade launcher. So it's burst area blast 5. So that, I don't know if that's in the macros or not.
If you, they will need to make a dodge. The DC of it is 20, so they make a dodge DC over, and if they go over 20, they basically kind of get out of the way.
But so I don't have to roll.
You don't have to roll. You basically kind of aim it to a certain area. Obviously, the blast area will be catching those guys in it. Obviously, trying to aim it slightly north of where Hammer is,
yep,
rather than catching him in the blast as well. So yep. Let me roll 4 dodge saves, a DC of 20, a 23, a 24, a 12, and a 14.
What the fudge?
Okay, so two guys kind of get out of the way and kind of scrabble along. The two guys take damage. So damage is 5, which is a difficulty then of 20. 18 is a fail, and 7 is a massive fail. Okay, so one of them takes 3 lots of wounding, one of them takes 1 lot of wounding.
Aren't I in the blast radius?
No, you're behind me.
No, nope, Hammer.
I'm off to the side.
No, if you look at the map, mm-hmm. I launched the grenade up there.
Okay, all right. Cool.
So that what do you call it? You wouldn't get caught in it.
Okay.
He wasn't bothered, was he?
All right, well, so am I next?
Okay, so the guard on 20 is next. He will take a shot at you again. A 20 to hit. Your dodge is 18 in total, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make another toughness saving throw. Difficulty 20.
Okay, so roll 20.
Or the toughness macro.
Oh, toughness macro. Fortitude, Stave. Sorry, hang on. Maybe I'm zoomed in too much. I see fortitude, parry save, dodge save, pistol attack, armed attack. I don't see toughness.
Slide over. The macros have a small slider bar. Just hover your...
Oh, they do. Goddamn. All right. Oh, they have... Okay, there we go.
Okay, 24.
Nice.
So you succeed by 4, so you're okay. So, yeah, basically kind of bounces off you and... You managed to take some minor wounding, but nothing significant. Okay, so you are next on 18.
All right. I noticed that I've got a. I'm trying to look for a way I can make a better attack here.
Okay.
And I'm just looking at advantages and skills that I've got. I'm not sure I actually got anything. I got throwing mat. Wait, I can do a power attack.
You can do a power attack. Yep. So up to anything. Up to plus 5, I believe. You can take off your to hit and then basically add it to your damage instead.
Okay, let's try that, because I'm not having much luck here so far.
You should take one guy and swing him into another. That would be badass.
How much... Boy, could we, how do we even do that?
Okay, if you want to attempt that, basically you can make a kind of a grapple attack and try and just basically hold him and then throw him, effectively.
No, wait a second. I've got a plus 6 for bludgeoning weapons. Have we been figuring that into the attacks?
If you are using the macro, you should be, yes.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
As long as you're using the macro and not just D20, everything should be taken account.
All right, well, I don't want to slow everybody down by trying to do new freaky stuff, so let me just say I'm going to do a power attack. So do I click sledgehammer attack or just click a D20 and we'll do the modifications?
Click the sledgehammer attack and we'll work out from there. That's probably easiest way.
Okay.
Okay, 87 for the power attack. Let me just double check. I think it's up to plus 5. You can take off a bit.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, the QP, power attack. Yeah, you can take penalty up to plus 5 from your attack bonus and add it to your effect instead. Okay, so you rolled a 22. How much do you want to take off to add to your effect?
Let's see. I'm going to take off 2 and add that to my effect.
Okay. So that will give you 20, which is a hit, and it gives you a 12 damage in total, plus 15 is 27. Toughness save for him is 11. He takes 16, which is 4 lots, which is basically nothing. So he goes...
He's dead. He's going for a swim. I think he actually could reach the water.
You basically... Catching with the sledgehammer, and he flies through the water and basically splashes into the water to the south of you guys, and just it's kind of lays there, kind of slapping against the shore.
Now I owe Gunner $20. I mean, now I owe Hammer $20.
Damn right you do.
You are next on 15. Obviously, these guys are slightly startled from being grenaded on, and obviously seeing the hammer take one out and. Basically, just swingballing him across the area. So, what do you want to do?
I am going to open up again with the light pistol. Hopefully, it'll work this time. To the guy, to the very north of us. You know, the guy.
Yep, he's the most wounded from the grenade. So.
Okay, sounds like a good idea. I will shoot him.
Okay.
So my light pistol attack.
Okay, it's 18 hit, which would normally hit him anyway, but because he's all got penalties, you definitely hit him. You do 3 damage. He makes a toughest same throw. Of 22, so let me think, 15, 18, minus 19, makes it by 1, so he's okay. You catch him again, it kind of thumps into his body armour, and doesn't actually do anything apart from kind of giving him a bit of a sharp shock. Okay, 14, you are gone, guy with 14, he is going to take a attack against Gunner with his assault rifle. So he hits on a 10. Your dodge is 7. It says looking 7, 17. So he would need. He misses you completely.
Sweet. I love when that happens.
Yeah, bullets whistle past you, kind of narrowly missing Mojo as he does so. Okay, and the last guy on 3. Who's slightly injured? He will take a shot against Gunner as well, but with severe penalties to his roll. So he's got 3 off of that's 14. Gunner is on 17. He misses you as well. So the assault rifle fire kind of whistles through the air. All shots miss. That is it. Okay. From where you're standing at the moment, you can also see the kind of lights.
Hell's broke loose, hasn't it?
From the south, was basically you can see someone's taking kind of, they haven't moved from where you are, they're not getting any larger or brighter from where you're standing, and obviously the foghorn from the thing is still blaring out and the sound of the storm is kind of obscuring some noise, but it was that gunfire, you would assume that someone's gone and kind of they're flicking the torches in the direction, but as of yet no one's made their way up this towards the north of the island.
More grenades.
Next round, 23.
Let's lob another one. So We'll put a grenade right there. That way we'll catch the rest of them and leave Hammer in the safe zone.
Okay, so dodge save for the first guy is an 8 with minus 3. It's a very, very bad roll for him. Okay, dodge roll for the next guy is a 10. He's uninjured. Dodge guy for the third guy is a 9. Okay, so all three of them are completely knackered because you have 20 difficulty. Damage is 5, unless I'm mistaken?
Yes.
Okay, so it's difficulty 20 for toughness saves. Okay, 14, you fail it by... and minus 3 is 11, so he fails it by lots. He fails it, and he fails it by lots as well. Okay, on 8. So, right, so very, very injured guy is now very, very concussed, dying, unconscious guy on the ground. Slightly injured guy who was caught last time takes a 2 penalty, and slightly concussed guy that had the sledgehammer whistle past his face is also concussed and on the ground and looking particularly ragged and kind of shook up. So, that would be... Number 20 would have been the guy there. He's now gone. Hammer is next, and there is only one guy standing caught in the blast of this last grenade. Yeah, to your north.
Hey, do you guys know what time it is?
4 o'clock my time.
It's Hammer time.
You know what? In my head, every time I say Hammer, that always goes for it, and I just, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
I felt bad while I was thinking. But.
Have you been Googling that? You've gone away from your computer to look that up, haven't you?
All right, so last guy. And he's dazed?
He is, yeah, he's injured. He's taken a couple of levels of wound as well, so he's got penalties, yeah.
Okay, well, crap, let's go with what's been working. Sledgehammer attack.
Okay, so a hasty 5-foot step forward and a swing with a little retribution. Is an 11 to hit. He has got a dodge of... Sorry, a parry, my mistake, of 17 minus his penalties would be a 15. He's okay. So, again, he takes a kind of a half... last step backwards, and the hammer kind of just swings in front of him, catches like the bulletproof jacket on the front of his chest, and the kind of almost like tears off his body, but actually he's still intact. Okay, Mojo, 15.
Okay, I will then open up again. Hopefully they'll hit this time and shoot the remaining guy in the middle.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, for God's
sake. Okay, 11 to hit. Okay.
We gotta get you a bigger gun.
I know. But okay. I am fine with it in that kind of like gangster fashion, you know, like hold it aside. Okay. All that shit.
So that is by 3. He has penalties, but not enough that it still doesn't connect. So, yeah, it kind of whistles off into the darkness. Okay, so on 14, he's gone. He is the last act, surprisingly enough. Okay, so he is now going to... have to take a shot against Hammer with his assault rifle, I think. Easiest way to do so. Okay, so that would be a 10 to hit. You have a dodge of... I'm looking it up because I can't find it because I'm useless. Dodge of 8, so 18 he would need, so he misses you completely. So the bullets whistle past and guys you again, disappearing off into the darkness. Gunner, you're next on 23 again.
Just a regular shot this time.
Okay.
Let's see. 20.
Okay. 20 is a damn good hit, and 5 damage. Toughness saving throw for him is 25. My God, he's like the most resilient guy in existence. Okay, so even with his penalties, he's 23. He succeeds by 3. He's okay, so it thunks into his body armor, and he basically takes it and doesn't worry. Okay, so Hammer, again, you get another chance to swing retribution, see what we can do.
Yeah. Alright, so this guy is the minion who can't die.
He is the minion who can't die. Technically speaking,
we should hire him.
Stream off, there are no minions. Each bad guy is supposed to be as dangerous and as nasty as anybody else.
Well, not easily, but I reckon on a one-to-one fight between my character and one of these guys, I would be in serious trouble.
You may have problems.
I do think that.
And obviously, yeah. Don't forget, you're lacking two party members that would proper assault. You should be a party of five, so you should have another stealth attacking melee guy with Shadow, and obviously Punch Mag, the human bullet shield, would obviously be him as well. So you'd be fine then as well.
Okay.
Take a swing.
How about I try to grapple him and choke him out?
You can make a grab attack. Grab 196. Okay, grab. Okay, attempt to grab. You make an attack check against the target. If successful, target, make a resilience check against your strength or the rank of the grab and effect. Using the better of strength or dodge. Okay, so you make a standard attack plus. That'd be D20.
Yep, one sec. Yeah, there we go. Natural 20.
Okay. Okay, and his dodge is taken to. His parry is taken to advantage, so that would be 17 you would need to get, not including any wounds he's got, so you managed to overcome that. So you basically just rack your arm around his neck, kind of give him a slight. And he kind of almost spits up yesterday's dinner. Okay, your strength is what?
Eight.
So he needs to make a toughest saving throw against 23. He makes an 18, minus any penalties, would make it down to 17. He takes one more wound, so he again is dazed and stunned. He can't act this round at all. So you basically just get him in a headlock, and he kind of just whirls around for a little bit, drops his assault rifle on the ground, and he's now kind of not incapacitated, but severely hampered. Okay, so Mojo. No, sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say he's grappled, so he's not really a danger at this point.
Yep, no. So Mojo, you've got a choice. You can either happily waltz up there and basically press your gun to the temple and just finish the guy off, or you can take a kind of random shot from where you're standing and try to catch him as he's wiggling around.
Yeah, me, I don't like the sound of any of those. I've not been able to hit any of them at all with this cheap, I don't know, government-made issue crappy pistol I've been given. So, you know what, I'm just going to leave Hammer to choke him out. I'm looking around now, paranoid. I'm going to look up and down this road to see if anyone's coming our way.
Okay, so looking down the road... you don't see any sign of anybody at the moment. Using your, as you're kind of your picture-in-picture CCTV-ness, you kind of each of these, as the cameras kind of flick over the mansion, you notice that the Humvee appears to have kind of been started up, and it's kind of slowly kind of chugging down towards you at the moment. It's incredibly, incredibly bad nick. It's probably bought very, very cheaply, and you kind of like steam piles from underneath the hood of it, and it's,
yeah. But what's the gun like that's mounted on it? Never mind.
It itself is pretty beaty and nasty, but actually getting to it at the moment, it's kind of having, it's almost like stopping and starting as it kind of shunts forward every so often, and the guy can't quite get it started at the moment. So you are safer than it.
I'll just give the guys a heads up and just say, finish this guy off. There's a Humvee coming with a big ass gun on it.
Okay. So, Gunner, you are next round. You're on 23.
Hammer, do you want the honor, or do you want me to take it?
Let's move quickly. We got to get undercover fast so you can do it.
All right. So, as he's restraining the guy, I turn his head into a bowl of sushi.
Okay. So we'll assume that's dangerous. So he's grappled, he can't do anything at the moment, so you basically just finish him off, and he stops into the ground.
Yep, take my combat knife and I put it in through the middle from both sides, so basically just take the combat knife and put it through one ear and out the other.
Damn it, Gunner, this is my favorite shirt. This is my covert mission shirt. Look what you did
there. Dude, you just won $20. You can buy another white beater.
This is my covert mission and Dragpick Murphy's shirt.
I'll vomit on my shoes.
Okay, so you have a bit of a slight gag reflex. Lucky enough, as you do so, kind of the sea salt kind of brushes over your shoes and kind of wipes them clean lovingly afterwards. And I would say, if everybody's okay, we could probably call it from there.
Yeah, well, when are we scheduled to do it next week on Thursday?
Yeah, I think Thursday should be fine by me. So, yeah, the Humvee is slowly making its way towards you, but at this current point in time, you are in no immediate danger.
All right, awesome. Sounds good. Well, that was a good time, guys.
Yeah, that was really cool. Hey, thank you very much for running.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Thank you very much. I haven't played Mutants and Masterminds in a while. It's always a good time. And, hey, anybody listening, you've still got, as a time of this listening, 3.5 days to back the Extreme Earth Kickstarter. So
yeah, look. Get out there.
All right, cool. Hey, guys, thanks for coming, and we will catch you all later on the Banff Podcast.
Cheers, guys.